As public interest in animal welfare increases, societal preferences are expected to exert increasing influence on livestock production practices. This is a direct quote from today's article, OTRs, and I think it is something that each of our clients could readily recognize and potentially commiserate about with each other. While public perception has facilitated many beneficial changes in agriculture, it is difficult to become comfortable with a passive surrender to public opinion. And it's for this reason that I present to you today an article about public perception in dairy calf housing, in the hopes that it will stimulate you to pursue continuing education in areas that might be important to your future practice, and that it educates you on the topics that must be broached and taught to the general public and our clients if we as veterinarians are to dance the fine line of sound medical practice and keeping the public happy. With that said, OTRs, here are today's big three takeaways. Big takeaway number one, it'd be remiss of us as agricultural industry representatives to ignore the power of public perception. But we do not need to view it as wholly negative. These new societal platforms, such as social media, present us with a unique chance to get the word out, as well as to learn and adapt much sooner to societal trends than previously possible. Big takeaway number two, OTRs. Those who disagree with individual housing of calves did not like the lack of socialization, space for the calves, and the unnatural feel of the system. And this is something that will need to be addressed with future production systems, whether that's adding true or perceived space for calves, improving socialization via pairing or grouping, and or a more natural option such as outdoor access or herd lifestyles for these calves. All future considerations, OTRs. Big takeaway number three, OTRs. In the youth survey, the population who used social media did not display a statistically significant propensity towards a specific housing option, whereas adults who did access social media had a propensity away from individual housing. And this could be due to youth not being exposed to animal welfare campaigns against animal agriculture, suggesting that with a more active approach in this media, we would be able to utilize it to educate them in a positive manner about animal agriculture. The ultimate message, OTRs, is that preparing for consumer shifts in the coming decades and their impact on our clients and our practices can be difficult. But if we keep abreast of current consumer trends, we can stay ahead of that game. Additionally, concentrating on the areas of concern for the general public when educating them, and specifically the youth, could have lasting positive implications for the dairy industry. So stay tuned, OTRs, to learn a little bit more about this youth and adult public views of dairy calf housing options article. So the real challenge is, how do veterinarians like us, who don't have the time, resources, or financial backing of a multi-million dollar company, who are faced with irregular work schedules, on calls, and emergencies, how can we facilitate our own personal and professional growth so we can continue to offer superior service to our clients while still remaining competitive in today's market? That is the challenge, and this podcast will provide you the roadmap to its solution. I'm your host, Dr. Eric, and welcome to Operators to Owners. Welcome back, OTRs. Today's article is titled Youth and Adult Public Views of Dairy Calf Housing Options, published in the Journal of Dairy Science in 2020. It was published by Peturu, Ventura, and Endres, and it was done at the University of Minnesota, St. Paul. And the objective of this study was to explore youth and adult public views of different calf housing options and reasons underlying preference or acceptance. Now, before we get started, today's article is number one about preparing for consumer shifts in the coming decades and how they will impact our clients and therefore the services we personally offer, which means We need to grow our practice and remain relevant in those areas. And number two, the areas that we can concentrate on when we're educating the public and specifically youth to have more or deeper conversations about the dairy industry, creating longer lasting implications for those discussions. Now, before we begin, we're going to go back to our standard cutting edge episode OTRs. That's the intro, the methods, the results, the conclusions, and my thoughts. So some interesting background information first. From our introduction, I want to reiterate a point from Vanderhoek in 2007 that said, as public interest in animal welfare increases, societal preferences are expected to exert increasing influence on livestock production practices. Now, Brown and Schwinkert in 2001 added a reminder that it is crucial for the dairy sector to understand public views and use this understanding to align management practices with public expectations. Clack in 2016 showed that farm animal welfare is a major societal issue, and Mention 2008 added that public perception on this issue is having an increasingly higher influence over production systems. Sharma and Sonowari in 2014 did show that this perception and overall purchasing dynamics can be swayed by children's opinions as well. Jameson in 2012 and in 2015 also showed that UK youth also place more importance on space and behavioral freedom for farm animals, with Spooner in 2014 adding that lay adults also place priority on natural living for these animals. This quote-unquote natural living was a primary concern in Vanderhoek's 2007 study, where adults expressed concern about welfare as related to the lack of this natural living or natural living behavior. While Serpell in 2005 and Herzog in 2007 showed that residents and animal welfare attitudes do correlate, with rural residents better understanding overall farm practices. And finally, adding a little scientific context to the different choices of calf rearing housing. Recent scientific benefits have proven that group housing has its advantages over other options. Costa in 2015 showed these calves have higher solid feed intakes. Warnick in 2012 showed they have greater weight gains. Babu in 2004 showed that they have more social interactions and play behavior. And DePassel in 2004 even showed that this housing system can reduce labor costs over individual calf pens. So what did the authors seek to do? What were their methods? So the authors used a recruitment survey, and they used a large gathering event, the Minnesota State Fair, in 2018 to get this survey done. They used iPad data collection on a 10-minute survey, looking at 12 questions for youth ages 5 to 17 and adults ages 18 and up. The adults had 17 questions to answer, as opposed to the 12 for the youth. In this survey, demographic data was collected, such as age, gender, residence, experience handling agricultural animals, history of visiting a farm, having a loved one in the dairy industry, pet ownership, social media usage. Adults were also asked about their level of education and their overall household income range. Individuals were then shown three pictures of each housing option, which I'll include on the OTO website, and asked for their responses to questions relating to these images. The youth version was a little bit simpler, asking for a preference between the three different housing options: individual pens, pair-raised pens, and group pens. At the end of their response, they were required to give a written justification for their choice again of the individual, paired, or group-raised animals. The adult version of this survey showed one picture at a time and provided a short educational blurb about the system, such as, these dairy calves are housed individually, which enables farmers to manage each calf's health and nutrition. Calves can see and hear each other, but have no physical contact. Rinse and repeat for paired raised housing and group housing. Adults were asked to give their level of acceptance from strongly accepted to strongly disagree with the type of housing, and they had the option to provide a written justification for their choice. So what did the researchers find? Overall, 463 youth participated, averaging about 11 years of age. 82% of these were from urban residences. 57% used at least one social media platform. 83% had visited a farm before. 62% had never handled a farm animal. And 76% had no loved ones in the dairy industry. On the adult side of things, 1,310 adults participated, and the average age was 45 to 54 years of age. Again, 82% were urban residents. 84% used at least one social media platform. 63% had visited a farm. 81% had never handled a farm animal. And 79% had no loved ones in the dairy industry. Youth responded overwhelmingly that they preferred group housing, with 80% selecting group housing as their preference, 14% selecting paired housing as their preference, and only 6% selecting individual housing as their preference. The only relationship between the demographics and the housing choice were that rural youth were more likely to select individual housing at 14% versus urban youth at 5%. Now, adults mimicked the youth response rates. Group housing had the best acceptance rate at 76%, followed by paired raised housing at 66% or 10% less, and individual housing at 32%. Now, the reasons for these selections and their overall implications are going to be further discussed in the thoughts section OTRs, so be sure to stay tuned. Before we get to these thoughts, let's just run through the author's conclusions. That'll set the framework for our discussion in the thoughts section. First, the authors concluded that both youth and adults overwhelmingly preferred group housing over individual housing, a preference driven in large part by perceived advantages related to space and the opportunity for socialization. Number two, the data suggests that the public desire a more natural living in dairy farming, and this may start at an earlier age. And finally, number three, adopting calf housing options that promote socialization and greater behavioral freedom for calves is likely to benefit the dairy sector's public image and social sustainability. So what are my thoughts on this all, OTRs? First, with the rapid evolution of the world and change in distribution of information from more controlled and validated news centers to the less controlled and more volatile social media outlets, we have seen more rapid consumer flux than ever before. Even today, we can see the impact of consumer opinion with Facebook boycotts over topics covered, news channel boycotts over the direction they lean, and rapid and complete elimination of brands or company leaders that do not conform to societal norms. It'd be remiss of us as agricultural industry representatives to ignore the power of public perception. But we do not need to view it as wholly negative. These new societal platforms, these social media platforms, present us with a unique chance to get the message out, as well as learn and adapt much more quickly than was ever previously possible. By analyzing trends like the authors did in this article, we can identify what future generations value. Placing these values before our clients and ourselves, giving both of us time to discuss and adapt to a new consumer value system, or re-educate the youth before they become full-fledged consumers. And this is the crux of today's article, OTRs, making you aware and confirming what many of us have thought about current and future consumer trends. And taking this information and utilizing it to advise your clients as well as set your practice up for a new future model. As the body of scientific evidence continues to build for group or paired housing, it'll become more and more difficult to defend individual housing in calf care. While I agree that individual housing probably has disease transmission benefits, especially in the face of outbreaks, The growing body of evidence suggests that pair raising or group raising calves allows for more intakes, better gains, improved socialization, and even reduced rearing costs. So slowly but surely, we will probably see the erosion of the defensible position that individual housing is okay. But that's not all bad. If we begin educating our clients right now about the benefits of pair or group raising, in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, when we need to do that, when we need to convert to that, our jobs will become so much easier. And that was the goal of this study, to begin to set up the framework for what trends to expect. Now, this data clearly shows a growing trend in America's youth. While maturation, education, and simply rearing their own kids will change some of this youth perspective, we can see that more than likely our future consumers will want their calves paired at the very least, and probably want them group housed. Understanding their reasoning for this choice is critical as well. Youth mainly selected group and paired raising because of the improved socialization, the compromise between group and individual pens, decreased competition, decreased stress, and additional space. While those who selected individual pens stated that they liked the improved quality of the environment and less germs. And this gives us insight into the current thought pattern of the youth. They really value the socialization aspects as well as the perceived improvements in quality of life. Now, with this in mind, we can begin to focus our educational efforts for them towards the science of socialization in animals and space allowance for these calves in different systems, while at the same time discussing the risk of disease. By opening up this discussion this way, we'll perhaps have a more receptive audience in the future. Similarly, these discussions about expectations can be had in the same way with our clients. But this is going to go both ways, and we need to make sure we focus on the public and our clients. We need to impart on our clients that these new values of the next generation are important. We need to help them understand that if they're creating new systems, they should be designed with the concerns of the public in mind and actively address these key issues of socialization, space, cleanliness, and size. Adults, on the other hand, our current consumer, are more accepting of current systems, whether that's due to generational differences, more education, experience, or simply rearing their own kids, it appears to make them more tolerant of various systems. Adults seem more accepting of individual housing due to conditional acceptance or the fact that it is for the good of the calf for a short period of time due to health reasons, to keep the quality of the environment clean, and to improve overall space allowance. However, those who really disagreed with individual housing did not like the lack of socialization again and the unnatural feel of the system. Again, we see the same common theme as with the youth. Something that will probably need to be addressed with future systems, whether that is by adding true or perceived increases in space for calves, improving socialization via pairing or grouping, and or the more natural options such as outdoor access or herd-type lifestyles and environments. The future pursuit of more natural, highly sociable, and still disease-adverse systems will need to remain a top priority for dairy producers and veterinarians. While this has always been a common goal for us, it is even more important now with future changes in the market on the horizon. Another point we can see with this data is the trend that as we educate individuals on dairy-related topics, either through farm visits, handling experience, or a loved one's interaction, the likelihood of their acceptance for certain types of calf housing is changed. While the merits of each of these activities, on-farm or handling, is still debatable as a potential asset or liability in this fight to educate the public, we must continue to seek ways to improve the connection between our industry and the general public, and specifically the urban public. This means that in the future, we need to continue to take a less isolationist view towards educating or involving the public on our operations, and a more active role in showing them what the dairy industry does, increasing their exposure to these issues and improving their understanding and relatability. And this is the final reason I chose this article, because many people post in my listservs asking for youth speaking ideas, and I thought this would be an awesome topic for you to talk about. You could do it in a variety of versions. You could replicate the study and review the answers of the individual group with them. You could take this data and simplify it and educate them on what their peers in a different demographic think. Or you could just use this as a tool to educate them on why you pick specific housing systems. Nothing too complicated, but it would be a nice idea to keep in your back pocket for that next school 4-H or FFA talk. Now that's all I have for you today, OTOers. But before I leave you, I want to leave you with one last thought from the article. Near the end of this article, the authors placed one interesting finding in fact. They stated that in the youth survey, the population of those with social media usage did not display a statistically significant propensity towards one specific housing option, whereas adults who did access social media had a propensity away from individual housing. This, the authors proposed, could be due to the youth not being exposed to animal welfare campaigns against animal agriculture, suggesting that with a more active approach, this could be utilized to educate them in a positive manner. The authors did say that this hypothesis warrants further investigation, which I imagine could be difficult in today's social media age. Just food for thought, OTOers. Again, thanks for joining me today, OTOers. Until next time, carry on. If you like this content and want more, you can stop by the Operators Owners website at otovets.com. There you can sign up for our community at otovets.com/Facebook. You can also consume some of our original content at the blog at otovets.com/blog. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll catch you next time, OTOers.